And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. The Congress is reconvened this week, and I look forward to working across the partisan divides to take deconstructive steps to move our nation forward. I expect the Congress is going to give me the tools I need to do the continued fighting for my terrorist tragedy. Now, tools are important for a president. For example, I have a veto tool, which allows me to reject any legislation that the Congress passes. And another important tool I have is the signing statement tool. Now, this allows me to sign a bill, but declare that I'm not going to follow any laws in it. And finally, I have the all-important ignore tool, which allows me to block out the legislative and judicial branches of our government altogether, using only the power of my conscious mind. Now, these valuable instruments of government are going to allow me to govern in a way that's best for our nation. Oh, there's one more tool I forgot. It's the power of make-believe. This is a tool we used to rebuild the city of New Orleans, and it worked. We can also use this great tool to turn almost certain defeat in Iraq into a glorious victory, with wreaths and palms thrown at our feet. I have a hard road of make-believing ahead of me, so I'm going to conclude my remarks now so that I may sit at my desk, close my eyes, lean back, and get to work. May God bless you.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
Fantastic. Fantastic, I mean horrifyingly close to the truth. Hello! It's the... Hey, sir, do we have... Is this potted up?
It's B, right?
Yeah. Can you just with the...
Hiya, Rudolph here. Well, I'm not blowing Santa's butt all over the world. I listen to Lee and Susan and the Waking Crew on 98.7 KUPO. That Waking Crew, hey, lady.
98.7 KUPO.
Excellent. There you go. Thank you. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson.
Now people are going to think we're changing the format again.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program, kids. It's 3 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed at the seat. Oh, I forgot you have to let them re-queue now.
Yeah, you got to re-queue. Unless you have one of those machines that fast-forwards, but I think that's one of the old ones.
Well, this has the queue button. Let's see if it works.
No, is that what that means?
Queue is like fast forward, isn't it?
I think that's for trip cues.
Damn it, queue!
I think that's for Minimation. If you got like three of those, they'll start the next one.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
We have a cart machine in here.
Jeff,
anyone's excited about it except for us.
It's really... You guys are excited.
Oh, there we go. No, it queued up. See, it advanced to the queue.
That's how long it took?
Yeah. You don't even know.
Wow.
Sister, you don't... Let's see what else.
Let's play another.
Let's see what this is. With applause. And we're done. There was a whole series of... I'm probably still on. There's a series of carts. Tim and I were having this discussion before the program about whether anybody uses carts anymore.
We don't think so.
No.
They're so weird looking.
There was a whole series of carts that every morning show had to have.
20 seconds?
Like this one. This is when somebody lost a contest. That's what you play that one right here.
Man, so you had to put in all of these individually?
Yeah, you'd have about three or four machines.
Fantastic. All right, well, we'll talk about this here in just a second. See, and I'm going to
have to
stop myself.
Take them out yourself and put them back where they came from.
I'm going to have to actually stop myself because I'm just... The urge
just play,
to just...
Just play them all and get it out of your
the
system.
The urge to just sit here and play carts all day is just overwhelming.
There wasn't time for MySpace back then.
No, it's... I have no idea.
And all that trouble just for that one little
for
thing.
For six seconds of music. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, it's queued up right away, though. And Friday, let's see, this is a Friday song, but you know what? It's Thursday. I don't care. We're going to play it anyway.
You're crazy.
This is the Friday song by Lillian and Edna of Estacada. It says here on this label, which looks like it was typed sometime in 1960. Yeah. All right. Let's see.
That's not really queued, Rappel.
Oh.
Friday is a favorite day.
That's a cart that I don't believe
what
the song is supposed
to it?
Tim, would you like to explain what happened?
The tape got snagged. Or you're about to have an earthquake.
Oh.
That's what happened during the earthquake.
Oh, this card is wound too tightly. No one knows what we're talking about except other radio people. This first segment of the Rick Emerson program is for them.
There are a lot of them out there.
Do the Budweiser thing.
This is for you, newly unemployed radio guy sitting at home.
We know it. We've been there ourselves.
We've been there, and so we are commiserating.
Me more than anyone, really.
Talking about the days of yore. Live from the plushly appointed and newly retro studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, high atop the bottom of the coin tower. It is 503-733-2970.
It's huge.
You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so
because you had that machine, you'd have to have real people in here all the time to play those little boxes.
You lie, Jim Ryan.
And remove them and put them back in.
How long could a cart be?
You're making that up. There were never real people working in radio stations.
Three or four of them.
The other one.
And there are triple deckers also.
We should describe it for the people.
You knew this was going to happen, Ricky. You chose to bring the cart machine in.
I know. I'm just saying we should give a little backstory to the people who are non-radio people or people who don't know what we're talking about here.
It's a museum piece, I think.
It really is. Okay, so in radio now, in 2007, things are played. And I know this sounds like I'm doing one of those public service, like the Gypsy Moth. Like I'm doing some film strip thing. But in radio stations now, things are played electronically. For example, this.
Several in a row.
That's coming off a computer right here. It's a little MP3
file.
It has
no moving parts.
No moving parts. It's a little window that comes up on my Windows 2000 here.
This joke copyright 2007.
Right there. It all comes up digitally. I can play it over and over again. I can play them in various orders.
It takes no space at all.
It's instant. When it's done playing, it doesn't have to queue up and get back to the beginning. You don't have to rewind it. Everything you hear on the air on this program, except unless we're playing something off a CD, like if a listener sends us something on a CD or we have to play some old crusty piece of audio, we have to pull a vinyl or whatever. Everything you hear, except for our voices, comes out off of a hard drive. In fact, most radio stations now. Most radio stations you listen to, the music, the commercials, the jingles, the liners, quite possibly the DJ himself, all comes off a computer hard drive somewhere. It's all just saved there as an MP3 like you do at your house and blah, 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 blah. Now, everybody knows that back in the day, and actually at some radio stations, now a lot of urban stations do this, where they will actually play the music off vinyl and they will have a DJ. And by DJ, I don't mean, hi, I'm Robin St. James. I mean DJ like, hello, I'm DJ, you know.
Scotty J.
DJ Scotty J. That's the by the way, Sarah, the ambient noise you're hearing is the cart pot. You can pot that down if you want to for now.
The motor itself makes noise.
No, it's not. I still hear it.
Oh, I do too.
I still hear this ambient roar in my left channel. Well, whatever. We'll figure it out. Anyway, but a lot of like urban stations now will play music off vinyl and so forth. But everything else that you hear at a radio station, it comes off of computer. Now, back up until, I don't know, CBS used cart machines for a long time. I mean, even up until like 6-7 years ago. I know Howard, before he switched to satellite, Howard was still using carts. We were talking about this right before the show started. You would hear Robin and Howard doing the news, and Robin would say, this is cut number 5, and this is the sound you would hear. You would hear this as like Howard was looking through the pile of carts trying to find the sound clip to play. A cart is like, the easiest way to describe a cart is like an 8-track. It's like an 8-track single. It's about the same shape and dimension of an 8-track, but it only contains, is it an 8-track has whatever, 45 minutes of music or an album or whatever. A cart only has one thing. It has one song, one sound effect, one jingle, one liner, one whatever.
How long of a thing can it hold?
Carts can be up to, what, 7 minutes, six and a half?
Big ones.
I mean,
I remember I used to have just one cart machine underneath the board that played the teletype. Up a big cart.
And it would loop over and over and over again to have in the background.
Like you're in the real newsroom, but you're worried it was coming up a box by your feet.
And so every cart you have here, again, like I have this cart in my hand. This is the buzzer cart. And every time you wanted to play the buzzer, you had to put this cart into the machine, load it in just like an 8-track.
A person would have to be here to do this.
Would have to be here, and then you have to press this big green start button. There you go. And then it plays. And then it takes about 30 seconds to wind itself back to the beginning and be ready to play again.
Because when it rewinds, if you haven't bulked it enough, it'll make that...
We're just talking about things that nobody understands.
Well, this is a little visit to the museum.
It really is. And so we'll come back to this in a second, because the best thing happened the other day, followed by a great thing happening today, followed by great things that are going to be happening all day long. And our leader will make the weather fantastic.
You mean there's more than one cart machine that's going to be installed in here?
No, but I got to... That's their new. That was the trade-off to get into the new studio. To move to the new studio, and we have studio news, by the way. We have a big announcement about the move to the new studio. So we have studio news. Yeah, that's the big news. We're going to get a brand new studio, but everything's going to have to be played off wax cylinders. There will be no sound effects. There'll just be a guy, Michael Winslow, will just sit in the studio off mic and create sound effects for us during the news. Anyway, yeah, and we're moving back to LPs as well. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Can you turn this up? We'll just welcome. Is this off?
Oh, over the world, I listen to Lee and Susan and the Waking Crew on 98.7 KUPO. At Waking Crew, hey, lady.
98.7 KUPO.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend Aaron Geek in the city. Duran, hello, sir.
Hey, the phones are working fine?
Whoa, hello there. Oh, we got the phones, but it's only in the left channel. I mean, it sounds fine on the air because it all
if
gets monoed
out. If you're
left
brain.
It's mono, and who cares?
No, it is. We'll grab Jeff and have him come in here at some point and take a look at this. Jeff McGinley, we got to give him
Actually, I know where Jeremy is. He said to call him. He just replaced the module.
They're all in the conference room, too. I know that the Jeff...
Yeah, Scotty, Jeremy said it's all right to go get him, so go grab him.
I know that Jeff was in here last night. I will just say this. Here's the thing about the cart machine. So, cart machines are a thing, an object of great nostalgia and just weird flashbacky vibes for everybody that worked in... I mean, if you worked in radio at any time before, I would say 1995, the odds are that you played a lot of things off of cart. And carts... they're one of those things that really have no practical advantages in any way. There was nothing better about them. The technology was not advanced in any fashion. There really is no upside to using a cart as compared to the technology now. And yet everybody I know that was in radio has this weird affection for them. It's just a weird love for carts. So when CBS made this changeover, where they got rid of all of their carts and they moved everything to digital a few years ago, the engineers went through, and they thought they got rid of all the carts. They thought they got rid of all of them. And I think they just threw them into a dumpster somewhere, except they missed, and this is how these things are always unearthed. These are always how these discoveries are found. They missed one cupboard. There was one closet in there that they forgot to open. They didn't look inside, and so there are hundreds and hundreds of carts left over. So the other day, I'm wandering through the building, and I'm looking through, like, a Xerox paper or something. I'm looking for, like a Sharpie. And so I open it, and just like that warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they're storing the Ark of the Covenant, I open it, and it was like a glorious golden glow coming out of the cupboard, just hundreds and hundreds of carts. And I swear to God, I could hear the cherubim and the seraphim and all the heavenly hosts just beaming down their love from a glorious Jesus above me. And it was just sort of like a... oh, sound, and just glorious golden, Marcellus Wallace-esque glow came out of the cupboard as I beheld all of these carts that were in there. And then my goal became to find a cart machine. And so I tracked this cart machine right here, which I discovered sitting covered in cobwebs, unused, in the corner of a production studio, unplugged, stuck in a box underneath a cupboard. I found Jeff McGinley last night. And I said, hey, when you get a chance... could you hook up this cart machine? And he kind of did that long, like the long pull on his cigarette, and he sort of narrowed his eyes, sort of Bogart-like, and he said, why would you want a cart machine? And I said, because it's fantastic. Because, you know, why would you not want a cart machine? And so he came and he hooked it up last night.
Once it were accused, you can't play it again.
Oh, do I have to?
You gotta pull it out, put it back in. There you go.
Hiya, Rudolph here. Well, I'm not Paul and Santa's butt all over the world. I listen to Lee and Susan and the Waking Crew on 98.7 KUPO. At Waking Crew, hey, lady.
98.7 KUPO.
Why would you not want to have that at your disposal whenever you could? Why would you not want the ability to fire that randomly, nonsensically, throughout the program, distracting and confusing listeners by the thousands?
And there's a wonderful feeling of power with hitting that green button. I remember it from being 15 years old. You feel so good.
There is a visceral sort of, you are right about that too, and it's a tactile sensation. You don't get the same, and I realize now...
the jingles feel the best. Can we get up a stop?
For the love of God, could you stop talking for 1 second so I can hear if Aaron...
Hello, Aaron, are you there?
Sorry, I'll have a grande latte. I'm sorry.
Aaron's in the left... Jeremy is in here as he is every day fixing something.
Yeah, he's in...
Aaron's in the left channel only, by the way.
Pick up my coffee.
I have it on the right channel.
I have it on the right, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think your headphones are on backward.
Oh.
Why would it be in my left channel and be in your right channel?
Mine on right.
Oh, this is all confusing.
Oh, I guess
I think Aaron went away.
A stuck button somewhere.
I think Aaron hung up.
The buttons
coffee.
Are stuck now.
All right, that's fantastic. I'm just going to hang up here. There you go. Fantastic.
Well, this room will be somebody else's problem in a few weeks.
Seriously, we have a big announcement about that we'll get to. Anywho, so to make a long story short, I owe Jeff McGinley a bottle of Crown Royal because, as I understand it, that's Rick Emerson knows how to thank a radio employee. And that way of thanks is the gift of alcohol. Jeff McGinley's got a bottle of Crown Royal coming his way for coming in last night, taking time out of his busy schedule and hooking up his cart machine so that I can, at any given time, just...
Hiya, Rudolph here. Well, I'm not blowing Santa's butt all over the world. I listen to Lee and Susan and the Waking Crew on 98.7 KUP.
I don't even know who Susan is.
Hey, lady.
98.7 KUP.
Get used to that. You're going to be hearing that hundreds of times during today's program. It's 503-733.
Can we just get a shotgun jingle? It'll make this a lot easier.
A shotgun jingle. A shotgun jingle, by the way, is a really short jingle, usually 3 seconds or less.
They feel the best.
We are entering real serious Don Geronimo territory today. Shall I answer whoever's on the phone there? All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, hey, let's try it again.
All right, hey, I got him in both channels there. All right, thank you, Jeremy.
You're welcome. By the way, that cart machine's going in the car.
Hey, I got a minute. Make it fast.
Can you find us a shotgun jingle before that, though?
Yeah, seriously. Can you find us a rim shot of some kind?
And a weather donut.
And a clown honk? No weather donut, nerd. Okay. I have to stop. Tim and I are geeking out over here. Tim and I are really...
Too much.
We're now broadcasting only for other radio people. And there are really few of them left in this market anyway. They've all moved elsewhere. Hey, Aaron, what's up?
No, they're listening and hating us.
Hey, how's it going? Hey. You know, I know they're coming to be sad when I'm in the studio now.
Yeah.
Just kind of lean against the wall, nodding off.
Yeah, well, we can...
Wish I could check my MySpace page.
The best part today, apart from the fact that the phones were once again malfunctioning in a new and entirely different way, I want you to know that there was a brand new phone module. There's a phone module. They yanked out the phone module that's been screwing us the last couple of days, put in a brand new one. That phone module found a way to F us this morning. So it really is just this room that apparently is buried on top of some Indian, it's on top of some Indian burial ground. That's the only way to explain this. The best part this morning was when Sarah walked into the studio and she looked over this and she said, "Why? What's that?" And she had She had no idea what this was. And she said, "What's that?" And I just sort of laughed to myself and just shook my head slowly at my advancing age. Oh, wait, listen to this. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to put this in. All right, and... Okay, you got a bet. Go.
Well, it's still going to be foggy and cold today. High temperatures will only be in the 30s. Careful if you're driving and if you're picking up the kids at school. But they're going to be standing right next to the parking lot, so be careful you don't run them over. Right now, 44 in Glamis, 16 in Salem, and 59 at Continuous All Talk Radio. We need two cart machines then.
Yeah. Yeah, find us a second cart machine, Jeremy.
We can't do that.
Have that installed in 10 minutes, please.
We actually had a ceremony about a month ago where we took all 40 cart machines that were in storage.
And you threw them away?
We threw them across into a dump.
All right, okay.
All right. You go one push up.
Well, at least we got a shotgun, Jane.
This is. Okay, let's stop and get a hold of ourselves. All right, Aaron, so here's what we got today. We will be talking about, can we bring the mono bed back? We'll be talking about, it's a cart machine in the studio.
I'm going to change my name later. What is this?
Oh, look at those. Those are fantastic carts. Okay, we'll play those later. We'll be asking if it's icy white death where you are. Today, in honor of the snow, which was in Southeast, by the way, and there was the weirdest snow occurrence that happened this morning. There was the strangest weather anomaly, and we're going to talk about that later, because I know that nothing, and really, just so I can play this Northwest weather bet again, we should play this every time we talk about the weather today. We will have Scotty J's top five today, top five cold songs. Because of the icy weather outside, top five cold songs from Scotty J. Lisa Goddard will be joining us to talk about George W. Bush's latest attempt to pull the wool over the collective public eye. We will have... no, that's tomorrow. I was going to tease something. It's going to tomorrow. We have a special guest in studio. We do have big studio news today, though. We have a big announcement about the upcoming studio move and so forth. So that's what we got. That's what we got, my friend. That's what we're going to get to today. Those are the things that we are going to address on this radio program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Amber Dunn. All right, there you go. That's Aaron Geek in the City, Duran.
That sounded disinteresting.
We're going
to pull it out and put it back in again.
That's fantastic. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Fantastic. Anything you'd like to share with the group? Any happenings? Any occurrences?
No, not really. What, did I tell you something?
No. I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to jigger something loose just by, you know, just by axing.
No.
Okay. Thanks for playing.
No problem.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
Somebody, I did get contacted by a band on MySpace that has a song called Hot for Sarah.
Okay. No, we'll talk about that, too. Don't let me forget that. Let me write that down. Hot for Sarah.
But it's not about me.
Uh-huh. Oh. Hot for Sarah. Okay. Hot for Sarah. There's a song.
That was pretty funny. It's very catchy.
There's a group on MySpace that sent you an email this morning about this Hot for Sarah song, which we will play, which is a fantastic song, by the way. I only listened like halfway through. That's a solid hook, though.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that. And people want to know about your email correspondence with the guy you met at the party. So we'll talk about that as well. And there was something else. I can't remember.
I'm going to L.A. tomorrow.
Oh, we got to talk about that as well. God damn.
And
I didn't think this was going to be a busy show, but already it's just stacked up.
Dude, I talked to Brad yesterday, and he thinks that he can get Lisa and I lunch reservations at the Chateau Marmont.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. L.A. Okay. Chateau. All right. I got all this stuff we got to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm killing time here to see if I can get the card to re-queue before I introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, he's working on the following stories. For your edification,
it's a long card, isn't it? It's probably a 70-second card.
This is
5-second
one of those jackhole DJs has put like a 70-second bet on a 5-minute card, so it's going to take forever and ever to recue.
That was the problem with those things.
That's the thing, and then you had to, sometimes you had to talk really slowly like this, and you had to space out all your words, and you had to.
And then you're reading something, and you try to hit the button to take it out, and you end up starting something you didn't mean to.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's Tim Riley. He's working on the following stories for your edification.
So, did you think the president was just acting like a beaten dog last night? Or giving a well-rehearsed performance as a beaten dog? An AP poll shows 70% of Americans are against the troop escalation. There's no mention of that on Vox. There's also no indication on how long these troops would stay, but you can bet it'll be at least until the next election. And like a bunch of Nazi stormtroopers, U.S. forces storm a consulate and take prisoners. How long before we get similar treatment?
Fantastic. There you go. By the way, I just got this email. I will eliminate the name of the station from this email because they don't really deserve any publicity at this point. It wouldn't help anyway. And making your fortune by selling, I don't know, whatever, selling ball bearings or whatever it is that guy did clearly doesn't qualify you to run a radio station, as their hemorrhaging cash flow will attest. But I've got this email. Rick, I'm sure the weatherman from K blah, 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 blah listens to your show. Since this morning when he was giving the school closures, he said, quote, for your edification, you can go to our website to check for school closures, the same word you use for Tim's News Hour. By the way, I would almost guarantee you that this is the only radio program that uses the word edification on a daily basis. So I would consider it more than mere coincidence at this point that another radio station would be using that word. I'm just going to...
Well, we treat people like they're intelligent.
Hi, Rudolph here. Well, I'm not...
Intelligence is the hallmark of the Rick Emerson program.
I'm Lee and Susan and a Waking Crew on 98.7 KUPL. That Waking Crew, they slay me.
98.7 KUPL. I don't care if
don't
that gets old.
Don't talk after the jingle. You're going to get called into the office during the next air check meeting.
Did I hear you stepping on the jingle? I think that you used a shotgun ID when we needed a recycler promo. I'm going to give you this format wheel, and I want you to go home and study this. By the way, this is why you got that call from me last night about buying liquor. Text message.
Well, I was already having such a random night because I was out with a couple of my friends and then saw a bunch of CBS engineers out drinking.
Oh, yeah. Here's what happens last night. So again, I was talking to Jeff McGinley, and I had mentioned the fact that I found all of these old carts, these old radio sound effects and everything in a cupboard. And by the way, I got to say, I don't know when these are from, but I mean, the call letters were still the same because a lot of these are from KUPL. But I mean, some of these look like they've got to be 20 or 30 years old. I mean, Tim, you said that carts were invented in 1957.
Yeah.
So they're this 50-year-old technology as of this year. So I mean,
they didn't change
these,
any really.
No, I mean, it's a perfect design. They created the radio cart. They created the cart and they went home because they're flawlessly designed, as much as this kind of retro technology could be. So I told Jeff last night, I'm like, you got to hook up a cart machine at some point. I didn't expect that it would be done anytime really soon just because the guy's really busy with the studio move and he's busy putting in microphones and whatever. So I get the email last night from Jeff going, hey, the cart machine's in, you know, bada bing, have fun with that. And I told him, I'd said, kind of thinking it wouldn't be done right away because he's so busy. I said, well, you know, it's a bottle of whatever you drink if you get that cart machine in there pretty soon. And he told me he drinks Crown Royal, not unlike Scotty J, the difference probably being that Jeff is able to keep it down without horking it into his own eye somehow. And so at like 10 o'clock last night, I get the word from Jeff McGinley that the cart machine is in. And, of course, I'm not, you know, I'm not the drinking type, so I don't really know. So I'm just, I have no idea where to buy Crown Royal. So I'm emailing Sarah, I text messaged Sarah last night at like 10 o'clock. I'm like, can I go buy a bottle of booze at this hour? And if so, please to be telling me where. And which must have seemed really weird.
It's never been more apparent that you do not drink.
And it must have seemed really weird because I was having a bit of a tumultuous day yesterday, as any...
with the on-air breakdown and so forth.
As any number of listeners noticed...
I didn't notice anything different. I didn't see any reason to leave. We all just kind of sat through it.
I did get a whole lot of like, dude, is there anything you want to sit down and talk about? To get the emails yesterday from
people. Did you make an appointment with your therapist?
Yes, you can call me back. I left a message with my shrink yesterday.
Let me give you Wendy's number.
Before the show, and she never called me back.
Wendy called me back.
I imagine those people are busy. For the most part.
I called yesterday. Well, I told you the whole story. I called her before I even went on the air yesterday.
We should totally go to the same shrink.
And I left her a message. I'm like, hi, this is Rick, and I'm having a really bad... So if you could just call me... Just let me know. And then I left her all my phone numbers everywhere I could possibly be reached. That was yesterday at like 10:30. It's now today at 11:30, and
Does that seem like somebody you want to confide in, Rick?
I'm glad that I wasn't sitting there with a knife to my wrist.
Thank you for calling the crisis hotline. Your call is important to us. Leave
Wendy
a message.
Wendy is great because on her answering machine,
then they
outsource
him to India.
Yeah, totally.
Hello,
would you please be telling me about your mother?
So it has her office number, and then she also gives her straight to number, and she's like, or if it's a real emergency, contact the crisis line. She gives that number too.
You and I can't go to the same shrink. That would just be weird.
It'd be funny.
Yeah, but what if I was complaining about you, and then you were complaining about me?
And what if we had back-to-back sessions, and one of us had some like weird breakdown, and we had to leave crying?
And then we'd fall in love. That's the thing. If it was a movie,
what goes on at these sessions?
You can't say ooh when I say that. I mean, if it were a movie. No, I'm saying if this were a film, that's what would happen. Or
an episode of Sex and the City starring Bon Jovi.
If you and I went to the same shrink, the thing is that one of us would fall in love with the other. But it would not be you're right though. It would not be reciprocated. If this were, and I don't say this to be creepy, I'm saying if it were a film, if you and I went to the same shrink and this is a movie, like my character would fall in love with your character, and there's that weird device. Somebody should totally be doing this. Why hasn't someone done this as a film?
There is an episode of, well, not a film, but an episode of Sex and the City.
A whole movie, though, ought to be based on this, starring John Cusack and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, my God, there is a movie like this. It starred Courtney Cox and David Arquette. It was the movie that they met in where she was seeing a shrink, and then her shrink somehow, like, lost it mentally, so she pretended to be the therapist and then met the guy who was coming in for therapy. Blah-de-de-blah.
All right. Anyway, and then I'd fall in love with you and you wouldn't love me back, and then I'd have some suicide attempt that was really just a cry for help.
This is some Lifetime movie.
Yeah, okay, we've all just become 10-year-old girls.
It's time to hit the favorites button again.
Hiya, Rudolph here. Well, I'm not Paul and Santa's butt all over the world. I listen to Lee and Susan and the Waking Crew on 98.7 KUPO. That Waking Crew, hey, lady. 98.7
KUPO. So, we'll break here in a second because we can talk to Lisa Goddard. But no, the point is, so I left my shrink a message yesterday at 10:30 and she neglected it. And let me check my phone.
She probably feels you recovered by
let
now.
Let me check my phone. No. No messages.
Oh.
No, that's okay. It's okay. It's not like I was really at a crisis point needing your help or anything. Don't you worry about me.
He just drank too much coffee again.
Seriously. And so then, without warning, Sarah gets this text message from me last night saying, where can I buy a bottle of booze at 11 o'clock? Oh, no. Which was really for Jeff, but I'm...
That is a good question. What is the answer to that?
It never really occurred to me that would...
You cannot?
No, liquor stores close at usually like 7-ish. Or if not earlier.
It never occurred to me that would seem like a somewhat abrupt question that could be coming from me last night.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we should take a break here. We'll come back.
They don't sell liquor in stores, like a Fred Meyer?
I don't think so.
No, they just sell wine and beer. You have to go to a liquor store.
No, because the OLCC is all draconian and whatnot.
Where are liquor stores?
There's several on Hawthorne.
Surprise, several on Hawthorne.
Let's break now.
Okay.
It's the Rick. Hello! It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Is it deafening where you are? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Sarah Dillon, tell the people what just happened.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize that Jeremy was deaf.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He's an engineer.
I was listening for a noise in the background, and I had it crank way up because there was no audio.
Here's what just happened. So we were doing the opening segment of the program, and we sounded a little off kilter. A, it's because I'm on drugs. B, I'm really not. Maybe if I was, there'd be sort of a... Maybe it would sort of cancel itself out if I was on some sort of stimulant. Well, I'll pursue that later. Anyway, the first segment of this program is a little off kilter because I don't know. Can you drop the bed just a hair, sir?
Yeah,
I know you can't
sorry.
Hear anything. I don't know if you all could hear it during the first segment, and I want to draw attention to it because I didn't know how soon we were going to get it fixed, but there was this what we call brown noise, which is not like white noise. White noise is a high pitch, like an air conditioner kind of sound. Brown noise is more low. It's like a roar, like an the roar of the ocean, sort of. And there was all of this wash of brown noise going on in the background, and we found out that it was the phone module. The phone's really responsible for all the evil in the world. All evil everywhere has come from this phone module. And so Jeremy, the engineer, came in and fixed this during the break. So now the phones work, and the brown noise is gone, which means that the... And
right, there was a reason. I guess something, the switch inside of the module melted.
There wasn't actually... It melted? How did it melt? Is that like when the Nazi symbol burns off the box containing the Ark of the Covenant and Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Exactly.
Anywho, so there was this brown noise in the background that was kind of throwing me off, and my timing was all weird in that first segment. And so Jeremy came in and just fixed it. So now we should be fine. We should be flawless. This program be back to its normal golden state of existence. But Jeremy, the engineer, who you've all come to know over the last several days because the phones are physically incapable of working correctly more than one day in a row, came in and he had his headphones here so he could listen for this noise to isolate in the background. He had his headphones turned up as loud as they would go. Sarah did not realize this. Sarah then plugged her own headphones into that jack, and she had what we've come to refer to as a Tim Riley moment where she was literally blown off her feet by the volume.
That
just
was
now.
Painful.
It's fantastic. I wish everybody could have seen that.
Oh, thank you.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson program from the Hill. Fear her and her political acumen. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hello.
How do I say, wah-ha-ha?
Well, if you like, if it makes you feel more at home.
I feel like, I'm always trying to play off of your intro, and I feel like there's always just a weird silence afterwards.
It's okay. You know, here's the thing. As I always say, and this is in no reference to your physical state of existence, I always say that if you're fat, you stand next to fatter people. If you want to seem exciting, we should just have Bob Costantini on right before you. Because then really, you could come on and you could just snore and be picking lint out of your navel, and you're going to sound like a firecracker of journalistic fun.
Oh, noodles. Right.
Noodles. Hey, let me ask you this,
yeah.
Lisa Gutter. Do you have any idea? Let's see here. Hold on. Do you have any idea what this sound is? Does that sound like anything?
Deck of cards?
No. It is, but it has, you got four of the five letters correct there. It is actually,
it's a cart,
as in the cart deck that we are playing
our
sound effects on today. You guys don't use carts at CNN still, do you?
We don't, but AP Radio, when I was there just 2 years ago, we were not only using carts, but we were actually still, in some instances, using reel-to-reel tape that we would cut with razor blades and tape together to make our edits.
Those are the days. How long ago was that?
2 years ago.
Oh, that's fantastic. See, that is just, and really, Tim Riley and I were talking about this, and we have, long story short, and I won't bore you with this because we've got the decline of Western civilization to talk about here.
Right.
But I was looking for some Xerox paper the other day. I open a cupboard, and what to my wondering eyes should appear? But hundreds and hundreds of carts that somehow were not thrown away in the great CBS radio cart purge of a couple years ago. So I bribed one of the engineers with hard liquor to come in and hook up a cart machine. And so
that's great.
It is. It's fantastic. And so today we're playing a bunch of random things that I found. Some of them are unlabeled. Some of them don't make any sense. Let's see. We've got Sarah. Is this turned on? Is the cart channel here? Let's see. Let's see if I can fire this. No, I've got nothing. Well, never mind.
Okay.
It was supposed to be something called Lillian and Edna of Estacada, Oregon, sing the Friday song. I don't know who Lillian is. I don't know who Edna is. I don't know why there's a Friday song. I don't know who recorded it. I have no knowledge of it at all. But I'm going to be playing it relentlessly today, whether the audience wants to hear it or not.
Outstanding.
Okay. I'm having a little bit of a manic phase, I think, today.
Really?
I think I'm having a little bit of an episode. Let's talk about George W. Bush last night. You know what it is? It's the combination of the caffeine and the cart machine. And the fact that I called my shrink yesterday at 10:30 and then she didn't call me back yet. So we're now going on. What if I died? She'd feel terrible. If they found me hanging from like a telephone pole or something, she would be full of bitter self-loathing and recrimination over the fact that she didn't call me back. I'm talking to you, Noreen.
Or maybe she would teary-eyed go to Nancy Grace.
Let's talk about George W. Bush. And
I've got some good sound for you, some good react.
And when you say sound, well, okay, this is from other people commenting on George W. Bush. Because
yes, that's right.
Good, because there is no good sound from last night. I tried to watch last night. I tried to sit all the way through it. I eventually, this is how frustrating and how maddening.
No, you hate those speeches, right?
It's just, they fill me with this white-hot, impotent anger and just this rage that I can't do anything about. And I did note, by the way, that he was wearing a less aggressive tie last night. George W. Bush normally wears, because nothing on television happens by accident, and he normally wears very aggressive colors, usually a bright red or a bold red tie.
Yeah.
But not the case last night.
He was in the library, too, notably, which he hasn't done before either.
Do you suppose that's the first time he's been in a library?
I don't know. His wife's a librarian. You know, who knows? I'm sure she showed him one.
Before we get to your sound, let me just ask you this from your vantage point as a political observer. George W. Bush had what news director here, Tim Riley, referred to as the sort of beaten dog shtick going on last night, where he was, you know, accepting blame, accepting responsibility. You know, we have made poor choices, and now we're going to try to rectify those. Do you, A, share that assessment that was sort of the vibe he was trying to get across? And if so, do you believe that it was real, or do you believe that it was contrived because he knows that's what the public wants to see?
Ooh, I think that it's a bit of both. I think that this White House, I think they were ignorant to themselves for a long time and saying, no, things can turn around, things aren't, this is just a blip, this is just right now. But I think the White House has had to come to terms with it, and it hasn't been easy, that the fact that Iraq is not going well and that they made mistakes. But I think that they also are following the Clinton playbook and saying, you know, if you mess up, admit it, and maybe you'll be forgiven. It worked for Clinton, but I think the problem here is that this is such an issue of trust on so many levels, not just of the strategic decisions that didn't work, but also the whole build up to getting into war and basing it on reasons that turned out not to be well-founded. I think the president is trying to get that trust back. This is the first step in admitting he was wrong, but he's got a long way to go, I think.
I mean, I can't. It does just have this stench, this fact that we're going to be sending these 21,000, the troops over there. A couple things. A, is it me, or did he actually give no timeline? I mean, the irony is that there's a timeline for when the troops are going to go, which I think is usually next week, but there's no timeline for when Iraq has to get their crap together. He just had this vague, open-ended sort of, and if they do not hold up their end of the bargain, then we will take our ball and we will go home. But at no point did he give any sort of even an estimate as to how long, I mean, really, how long are they just allowed to just sit there and just spin their wheels before we decide enough is enough? Is there any speculation on how long it's going to be?
Well, actually, just in the last couple of hours, hour and a half, Secretary of Defense Gates is now sitting before a committee on the House side. He was asked that exact question, and he said, we don't have a definite idea, but I think that in most of our minds, we're thinking of it as a matter of months, not 18 months or 2 years. So he's saying less than a year and a half for this increase, but he's also saying we don't know.
All right. Well, what you said you had sound. These are reactions from, I mean, I've read some.
You know, one of these you've probably heard. This is Republican Chuck Hagel. He was talking to Condoleezza Rice. But obviously, remember also Chuck Hagel running for president. But here's what he had to say about the speech last night.
I think this speech given last night by this president represents the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam, if it's carried out.
So pretty strong words. But I think my favorite goes to Representative Neil Abercrombie of Hawaii, who just spoke in the House Armed Services Committee again. Here's how he put it.
This is the craziest, dumbest plan I've ever seen or heard of in my life.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
That is one of our congressmen responding to the
president. How is it that you have access to these super secret, like that thing, was it, what was that sound you had the other day? Was it Bloomberg?
Bloomberg.
How is it that you get these and no one else does? Does everybody else get these cuts and you are the only person with the stones to sort of talk to play them? Because I never hear this kind of gold from anybody else.
You know, I don't know. I'm too much of a multitasker. I'm always, it'll be assigned to, you know, listen to one thing, but what I'll do is I'll put something else in my other ear and nine times out of ten, it's that second thing that brings up the gold.
There is the stench of lame duck, let this be the next guy's problem all over this, from my perspective. Because, you know, he's running out the clock, and he's going to hand this off to whatever poor sap gets the gig in 2008. And then, you know, and he's going to be, man, his feet are going to be in the sands of Maui while whoever that is trying to sort out this colossal ball of tangled yarn. It just seems like this is a Band-Aid. I mean, that's the feeling that I get about this.
Well, I think all sectors have admitted that there isn't a solution in Iraq. It can get better or worse. And that I think the president, this is how he's hoping to make it better. I don't think it's in Bush's interest to make Iraq any worse. He wants to have some kind of legacy. He doesn't want to have sort of a Lyndon Johnson, even Richard Nixon, Vietnam, cloak hung about him. But he may not have any choice at this point. But, you know, if you heard Condoleezza Rice this morning in that same hearing, I mean, she was really passionate, and it seems that she really sounds like she's drinking the Kool-Aid. She sounded like she really believed that they're making the right choices. Of course, the senators she was talking to, Republicans and Democrats, were really giving it back to her as good as she gave. It was an intense hearing, really the administration being put on the spot by everyone. Lots of hostile questions from both sides.
I know he's running for president as well, even though he hasn't declared it. Barack Obama made this statement that he said that they're going to investigate. They're going to investigate ways to, without undercutting the troops that are there, to as you have said, to close the purse on this whole thing. And I mean, is there anything that realistically Congress is going to do at this point to put a roadblock in front of this insane 21,000 troop business?
They're definitely talking about it. I think they are trying to pass some legislation that would attach a whole lot of strings to this troop increase, making it very hard to have a substantial troop increase for very long. But the issue is, and to show that they really mean what they're going to do, you can tell because the Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, came out today saying he's going to filibuster whatever the Democrats try to pass. So it's clear that those who support the president, like McConnell, are worried that this Democratic action will have some effect, whether real or perceived, and they're trying to block that. So I think you're going to see a vote from Democrats. They just have not figured out how strong they're going to, like, how firmly are they going to put their hands out there, kind of around the throat of the Iraq war.
Let me just say that there are four syllables that make Rick Emerson's heart sing. Either spiced applesauce or filibuster.
Prepare yourself.
I
don't think he can keep it up, though. I don't think he has the votes to do it. He's going to try.
And real quickly, before I know it's a busy day for you, is there any quick response from, I mean, is there any sort of instant overnight polling on whether the American people had a collective upchuck over this?
You know, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't, you know, in my constant email flow, I have not seen any polls on that yet.
All right. Hey, you're going to be watching...
There's got to be one coming out, but I'm just not aware of it.
Are you going to be watching Richard Weibrow's program on the Travel Channel tonight?
How about it? I'm so excited.
We should tell people there's Richard Weibrow. He works at CNN. He's one of the bookers, right, Sarah?
Yeah, he's a very cool guy.
He's my boss, yeah.
And he has a program tonight. I'm just saying this because he seems like a cool guy and it seems like a cool show.
Okay.
Trip of a Lifetime, 10 p.m. Eastern.
On the Travel Channel.
On the Travel Channel, where he retraces his heritage to New Zealand and apparently cries like a woman at various points.
Yes, I can totally see that.
I know, he said he has a crying point, but he hasn't seen a copy of the show, so he doesn't know if they cut out the crying or not.
They left the crying.
That's what I told him. I'm like, it's TV.
It's
of course
TV.
They left the
they
crying.
They leave the crying.
Exactly, get ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, he answered an internet ad looking for TV writers, and it turned out that it was sort of, I don't know if it was a ruse or what the deal was, but it turned out they were actually looking for people to be on this TV show. And so he sent an essay about, you know, where he'd like to go in the world, and he won.
Fantastic. All right. Well, as this insane, incompetent horror continues to unfold, we will be guaranteed of some level of job security and witty repartee. So I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Enjoy the rest of what is undoubtedly going to be a busy day, sister, and we will talk to you probably tomorrow.
It's a deal.
All right. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill for CNN. All right. There you go. Fantastic. I just tore the CNN prep sheet in half by accident. I was trying to do that paper snap thing that I do, which is the, let's see if I can do it, the, that, and I just tore it in half.
Way to go.
I'm going to breathe deeply. I feel so much better now that brown noise is no longer in the background. It was really kind of screwing me up there in the first segment of the show. Let's see, what have we got here? I should have known. People calling about liquor stores.
Ah.
See, that's the thing is, and I had no idea. Like Tim, I couldn't quite remember whether you could buy booze at like a, you know, not like a Safeway, But, you know, this is like, because they're a convenience store. Like, in some states, you can go to a convenience store.
Oh, yeah.
Counter, they got that big bottle of Old Crow or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't remember if that was the case in Oregon or not.
You can buy beer and wine in stores.
All right. But they stopped selling hard liquor at the store anyway, bottles of it, at 7?
I believe so. I know the one on Upper Hawthorne serves till 7.
All right.
And then not on Sundays.
Because that's, if you want to worm your way into the heart of any person on the radio, it doesn't matter whether the air host, engineer, management, the salesperson, whatever. Nothing says I love you like the gift of booze. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, this is Ryan. What's going on?
Hi, what's up, brother?
Well, what Sarah just said about liquor stores being closed at 7.
Yeah.
There's one on Barber Boulevard in Southwest Portland, right at the intersection of Capitol and Barber.
Yeah.
They're open until 10 p.m.
Whoa!
Is that true? Now, is it now? I thought the 7 p.m. thing was like a law.
No, they're open. They're open from like 9 in the morning to 10 at night or something like that.
Sweet.
And they're open like noon to 8 on Sundays.
Oh, there you go. It's
okay.
Like,
no, you learned something new.
It's like I just told you there was like an 8th day in the week or something.
No, I just had no idea because, you know, like if you're going to a party and you were supposed to pick up something and if it's past 7, that's good to know.
Well, and I'm just so used to living in a state where the OLCC, you know, where the liquor board is just the power hungry and insane and living in the 19th century. So to hear that is not as draconian as I thought it was, that's always good. Excellent.
Well, what I always thought was interesting was that Barber Liquor seems to be like world famous almost, because I remember being parties in Southeast Portland going, oh, I'm just out of bounds, and I go, Barber Liquor's still open.
Everybody, it's just universally known. Everybody knows it. All right. Thank you, Ryan.
No problem.
All right. There you go. That's Ryan. And let's get Chris. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir.
Barber and Capital.
See? Yep. It's true. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. If I remember correctly, the store on 181st and Burnside is open till 8. And I know the one on SR 503 in Vancouver.
Are you making a list, Sarah? You really ought to be writing all of this down, because who knows when you might need this information.
Why would I need the information?
The one on north of 76th Street on 117th Avenue in Vancouver is open till 9.
Should it be past 7 o'clock and all of your liquor stores of choice are closed? Or
I don't really keep liquor in the house. I never have.
Like Ryan said, doesn't matter where you were, doesn't matter what part of town you're in, at 8:30, we're out of booze. Barber's open.
Fantastic. It's just, it's a shared bit of Portland community knowledge.
Sarah, my New Year's resolution was not to ask you to be my mommy this year. And on the Linda and Edna tape, Rick?
Yeah.
That was KUPL back in the Lee and Susan days.
Oh, I was trying to play the Northwest weather. Is it not on? Oh, there we go. Nah, the timing is all off on this. All right, we're just going to gloss over that mommy comment for now because it's kind of weirding me out. But thank you for calling, sir.
Take care, guys.
God bless you. Sounds like therapy all around today. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
Let's just pretend this hour didn't happen. Should we break?
I think this hour ended up okay. It started off great. Got a little ragged there because of the timing issues and we had some problems with the phone, which I should just sort of anticipate now. You know, the weird thing is we moved in the studio and the phones work flawlessly. It's going to be that screws me up. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? It'll be like Morgan Freeman getting out of Shawshank and suddenly being freaked out by all the space and freedom that he's got. Let's get one more here. Nothing but liquor store calls. Finish these up and then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Steve, hello, sir.
Hello.
Steve.
Hey, there's a liquor store on 102nd Burnside. It's open on Sunday and until like 10 o'clock at night.
See, I didn't think you could buy liquor on Sunday at all in Oregon. I thought this was a one of those quasi-blue states when it came to liquor on Sunday.
It didn't used to be, and now you can.
Fantastic. Excellent.
And over in Sisters, you can buy it in the local store there.
All right, cool. Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
All right, there you go. That's Steve, ladies and gentlemen. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We're going to close our eyes, click our ruby heels together. We're going to come back, and this program's going to be golden. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. We got back Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, Andy with the American opinion of the George W. Bush speech last night. Later on, we'll have the top five and the suburban perspective with Scotty J. Stay there.